Have you ever actually seen The Invisible Hand? It's Home Economics on 95BFM with Rupert Carline of Coda Wealth.
Morena, Rupert. How are you?
Very well, thank you.
It is good. Yeah, good. Good, good. Just a nice weekend. Nice chilled out weekend.
Perfect.
Yeah, and we've got some questions from listeners, which are not so chilled out because they're about money. And I think, you know, that's a bit stressful for people sometimes.
Yeah.
So we might just dive into them. First one we've got here. The tone of this question makes me a little bit sad for this person. They say, I don't think I can save enough for my retirement, so aren't I just better off keeping that money to spend on stuff now? I can also relate to this as well as a question.
I can definitely relate. There's no point trying when depending on where you land. But look, the short answer to that is no. Small savings today will make a big difference at a later point. It's always better to start early saving for your retirement, but it's never, ever, ever too late. And then particularly if you're willing to take part in KiwiSaver, the beauty about KiwiSaver is it's not just your savings that are accumulating, it's also your employer's contribution plus the government contribution as well. And at the end of the day, 3% coming off your paycheck, it's not a huge amount. But if you do that, even if it's for 5, 10, 15 years, that's going to make a huge difference when you get to your retirement.
That sounds like some good advice then. And a sort of bright spot maybe at the end of the dark tunnel of looking down the barrel of trying to save money as well. So that's good. And this one is a question from someone saying, is having a credit card a good idea so I can get a good credit score?
So I tried to do some research on this and I can't quite figure out whether the answer to that is yes or no. Intuitively, I would argue not having a credit card means that you have a better credit card, have a better credit score.
So what is a credit score?
So a credit score is, there are a couple of credit rating agencies out there that will assign a score to you, which if you ever go to take out a credit card or a personal loan or something, you will have a score attached to you personally, and that will determine whether you can get the loan and how much credit you can get.
Is this sometimes can be attached to things like renting applications?
Yes.
And stuff like that?
Yep.
So sometimes they'll be like, I'm going to check your credit.
Ooh.
And you're like, I don't want you to do that.
And so the things that impact it, the things that make you a worse credit score, are things like late payments, having lots of personal loans or lots of credit cards, missing payments, opening up lots of different accounts.
Right.
And so because it's all of those things, I would have thought not appearing on the credit system actually is a good thing. So not having a credit card is probably a better thing. And at the end of the day, if you do have a credit card, generally that is going to cost you.
Right.
I don't know of any free credit cards. And also, if you've got it sitting in your wallet, there's a high chance you'll use it. Which is probably only going to make your credit score worse.
Does your credit score get affected by things like Afterpay or lay-by and stuff like that?
Great question. I'll find out for next week.
All right, we will stay tuned for that. Somebody has said, I work a second job as a DJ. What kinds of things can I claim as expenses for that? Do my records count and my DJ software?
So I am not a tax lawyer or a tax accountant.
Full disclosure.
Intuitively, yes. So look, anything that relates to you earning money, you should be able to claim as a deduction on the way through. So the DJ software, really, I find that impossible to argue against. The records, again, I would have thought yes. So they almost definitely will as well. And even the other things like if you're catching cabs to and from the gig, if you need a home office to kind of do things, you might be able to claim some of your Wi-Fi, things like that. But look, I think for this stuff, it's really worth going and talking to an accountant. Having a sit down for a couple of hours with an accountant going through it won't cost you very much, but you might be pleasantly surprised at how much more you can claim back out the back of it.
Awesome. Oh, that is nice. Very good to know. For one-off contracts and casual contract work, I often get asked, how much should I be paid? But I have no idea what to answer. How do I figure out a reasonable amount? That's a really good question, Texter.
Oh, it's a great question. And so when I was contracting, what I did was I said, how much do I want to be paid every year? What do I think is a fair salary? And then I divide that by 52 to give me a weekly salary. So for example, round numbers, if I thought 100 grand was a fair salary for me and what I do, that's $2,000 a week. Divide that by 40 hours a week, and you're pretty quickly down to your 25.
Do you say shoot high?
Well, that comes down to negotiations, right?
Yeah, but there you go.
At the end of the day, the other thing you got to remember for contracting is it is one-off. It's small bits and pieces, so you probably do need to put a little bit of a premium on that. Mm-hmm. You're not getting paid for sick leave. You're not getting paid for annual leave. You're not getting paid for KiwiSaver contribution. So, yeah, definitely do shoot high.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day...
Don't sell yourself short.
Don't sell yourself short, and it's always a negotiation.
Mm. Very much.
And once you've started a contract, it's often very, very hard to backtrack on that as well.
We've just got one last question here, Rupert, that just came through. What would you suggest for someone who is 40 and already contributing 4% to KiwiSaver? Is it safer to invest in other avenues too, so you have more options if you wanted to work less before 65 or if you get sick before 65?
If you get sick before 65, you will be able to use, and you need the money, you will be able to use the financial hardship provisions within KiwiSaver. Look, whether it's 3% or 4%, it depends a little bit on what you think. And again, I know it's hard, but coming up with that plan, if you do think you will be needing to withdraw the money before 65 because of you do want to retire early or you do want to do something, then by all means, putting 3% into KiwiSaver and the 1% or 2% somewhere else is beneficial. But just be aware that, to be honest, 3% contributions is still nowhere near enough to give you a comfortable retirement. So the maths that we've done, so 3% will give you about 50 to 60% of your current income when you get to retirement. So actually, and also that's the lowest contribution rates in the world. OECD average is 15%.
Oh, wow.
So ours is versus the 6% for us, so 3+3. So look, just be careful. Don't kind of expect to think that just because you're contributing 3%, that's enough and that's going to fund your retirement. And so that's why for this person, I'd say 4% is great, but it's probably still not enough, and it's definitely not enough to allow you to retire early.
All right. Good advice. Thank you very much, Rupert. We'll see you again next Monday.
Thank you.
That's Money, Home Economics on 95 BFM.